Hello, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I am joined by Dane Young, Jake Roos, Dave McMahon, stats as we all call him around here, or we have some other names for him that are not allowed to put on YouTube, will be demonetized. And of coach, Hall of Fame, former Georgia head coach, Jim Dunnan, the reason everyone's tuned in, the only reason we do the show. Basically, we all want to gather around coach's feet and hear him tell us stories and tell us what's going on in the world. So we always appreciate Coach Dunnan making time to do the show. It means a lot to us, and we really appreciate it. We also appreciate everybody tuning in. And if you're on our Facebook page, give us a like. If you're on our YouTube page, hit the subscribe button. That would mean a lot to us. If you're listening to this, go ahead and give us a good review, not one of those crappy reviews. Give us a good 5-star review. That would also help us out a lot. And of course, big shout out to our sponsors here at Academia, Athens Ford, EuroPie, friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, all vowels pretty much. And I want to give a big shout out to DR Construction and Maintenance and all our friends who sponsor the show and put it on. We are in Academia Brewing Company right now, Dave and I. We're looking over their beer list. We're going to grab some good food here. The wild mushroom pasta is fantastic. The flatbreads they have. There's a chef over there cooking up some great stuff. So if you want a chance to have great beer and good food, you know, you don't have to choose one or the other. Swing by Academia Brewing Company. They will set you up. And they're probably going to do a little canning in the background there, so we might have to cut our audio out here in a bit, although we'll see. Anyway, a lot of news going on. Totally weren't going to do that right now. Anyway.
It makes it authentic.
So it's a working company.
So, Dane, why don't you take over, cut our audio for a bit, and ask Coach what he thinks about the Georgia coaching news.
Oh, I thought you'd never ask me to host, Roddy. I've been waiting for this day my whole life. Coach, obviously the big thing with Georgia right now is the search for a defensive backs coach, with Charlton Warren heading off to Indiana to be the defensive coordinator. So just your reaction to that and where Georgia goes from here.
Well, first of all, I'm very happy for Charlton. He certainly paid his dues, 17 years as assistant coach, has been around the block. He's a very buttoned up coach. I was impressed with his on the field and off the field demeanor here for UGA. He certainly served us well, and he learned a lot here under Coach Smart and Coach Lanning, learning the Georgia system, the hybrid of Alabama and everywhere else. And I'm certainly sure that this will do him well going into Indiana and taking over that defense and see what they can do with it. But at the same time, you know, the one thing that everybody that listens to this show or has any kind of Georgia ties knows that if it's one thing that Kirby Smart has his imprint on, it's the secondary. That was what he played here for me. That's what he's coached his entire life. He's also coached linebackers, but he's heavily involved, probably as much as any coach in the country with the defense from the standpoint of on-field coaching. And so that's going to be a loss for us to lose Coach Warren, but at the same time, you know, Kirby's not leaving. So we're glad that Charlton, that's good for him to move up. It was pretty obvious he's third in the pecking order on the defensive staff. You got Lanning, and then Schumann would take his place. So if he's going to be a coordinator, he needs to make a move in that direction. But as far as the replacements go, there's going to be a lot of innuendo and things out there that certainly everybody's got the right to look at and talk about. But the one thing that's so imminent here in my thinking is who can blend in with Kirby and be demonstrative and a take charge guy, but also understand that you're under the reign of a guy that's right there with you all the time. So not to the point that he overcoaches you, but at the same time, not looking over your shoulder. But it's a difficult job to do, to be a secondary coach here, knowing the head coach has the that much, you know, clout as far as a secondary. So it's got to be a guy that he feels good about. I know the last time we had a search, we had a lot of stuff on this show about different people who might be the guy. And Charlton Warren came out of nowhere. I mean, we had the guys that were interviewing, and then none of those guys came up and met the criteria that Kirby, I know a couple of them were good recruiters, but when they came in here for the interviews, completely bombed on the board. I'm not going to say who did it, but just didn't look like they could draw an X and O, some of them. but I'm sure they could. But I'm pointing out that that really hurt them with Kirby. So we're going to see. First of all, I would think somebody has direct input with Kirby as far as coaching under him as a GA or somewhat, but that might not be the telltale thing. I think recruiting is going to be very important based on how many guys we got to continue to get here. And you can throw out a lot of names there, but if you just look at the background of people that they Kirby's had with them, that would certainly lead you towards thinking about some of these guys. So I'm not going to mention any names there, but it's a fluid situation. COVID makes it tough because can you do these meetings on Zoom or can you have in person? But not any real rush there. And he can name one in 5 minutes, but there's not a real rush to name the coach. So that's as much as I can give you right now.
Well, just seems to me, go ahead, Jake.
No, I wanted to ask you, Coach. I know that one of the big points of consternation over the course of this offseason has been about the defensive back room and about the experience that you've lost back there. I guess losing the coach now of that position group, are you more, less, or the same concerned, I guess, as you were before?
Well, you know, anytime you lose that many guys at one position gets you in a little bit of consternation, but I also know who we got coming in, who we have, who we trained, and who we got coaching them. So, and I know that there's some people out there in the transfer portal. There's some people out there that they're looking at. And the one thing that I could say without any kind of question mark is he always does a good job of roster management and filling the needs to make our program better. So we'll probably pick up a couple guys, one or two, a corner or a safety on the transfer. And as far as the consternation about losing to everybody, hey, that was a given. I mean, nobody really surprised me. Maybe, JT Daniels. Daniels not playing. Not playing in the bowl game surprised me a little bit because he could have got a little bit more looks for sure without those other guys. But Stokes and Campbell, kind of a no-brainer really. And, the other guys graduated. So, but we got some good guys coming up, maybe not as good as what we're losing. And I mentioned Tyreek Stevenson too. I forgot him. But that was kind of a little bit of a stick in the butt there to lose him. But at the same time, he really hasn't played up to the standards that you think with his ability as far as result-oriented, looking at the grades that Brent Rollins puts out there on the guys. He hasn't been – but if he never does anything else for Georgia the rest of his life, that last play made against Cincinnati is worth it, his scholarship for 2 years.
We were asking these same questions, though, last year, right, with the offensive line. Sam Pittman leaves. Three starters go to the NFL with the tackles, and then Solomon Kinley as well. And then what does Kirby Smart do? He gets Matt Luke and just keeps the train going. So, I mean, it's not like this is an atypical situation. When you're a good program, you're going to lose coaches to other opportunities.
Good point. And I think this is something that I've always felt like one of the harder, you talk about offense, defensive coordinators, things like that. But defensive back coaches aren't like being in San Francisco and a trolley car comes along every 15 minutes. There are not a lot of defensive backfield guys out there that can train the technique and the style that you need to have to be a college and a pro corner. We're very fortunate to have Mel Tucker here. I mean, an elite coach, an elite defensive back coach, along with the fact that Kirby Smart is the elite defensive back coach in college football. So these guys have had the early training. Everybody here has had some kind of – the ones here except the freshmen have had something to do with Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart. So their techniques are along the lines of they've already got some good training to carry over. And whoever comes in, it's going to take 1 or 2 years to get the feel for working with Kirby. I mean, he's a very intense coach, but he doesn't hold it against the coach. But you better be on your P's and Q's when you go out there to practice now. You better cover every base, and that's okay. I like that.
Where did he learn that from?
I don't know. Maybe.
Wait a second, Coach.
I just think it's really important It's just like a I'm a little philosophy. It's just like a teacher every day. And Jake has been a teacher. You know, you owe it to your classroom students when you go into a class every day, just not show up. You need to do some prep and know the material and go over it with them where they can learn it. The reason people forget things is that they never learn it. So you need to present it in a way that they can not only learn it, but carry it over into their day-to-day lives and also carry it into the tests that they take. The same thing's true with a secondary coach. How do you prepare for meetings? What do you do with your tape? How do you present the techniques? What's your drill? You know, one thing Kirby would say, hey, bring me a drill tape. I want to see what you drill in practice. How does that carry over to the overall game plan and what you do as far as your ball skills drills? You know, what do you do as far as flipping your hips? What's your technique as far as collision in the receiver? How do you play the ball in the air? What do you do as far as red zone technique? How do you disguise coverages? All these things are huge in the repertoire that a guy brings in here. And I just think there's a lot of guys who would like to say, I'd like to be the defensive back coach at Georgia. And there's a lot of them that say, I don't want to be, because I know whatever I do is going to be said that, hey, Kirby coaches them anyhow. But the biggest thing is the last two guys that have been the secondary coach here got pretty damn good jobs. Mel Tucker, head coach of Colorado, now Michigan State, and now you go into a program that, even though they lost to Ole Miss, has been to two straight bowls, went to the wire against Ohio State, and Tom Allen is a big name there in the Big Ten right now. So Charlton Warren got a good promotion.
How would you like coming to Georgia as a defense back coach, and you have a brand new shiny Keely Ringo, like ready to start performing for you?
Well, I guarantee you one thing, I like for sure Keely Ringo, and I said this to Roddy off the air one of the days during the practice for the bowls. I got to go over there. Kirby let me come up. They relaxed the COVID stuff a little bit as far as not, you know, anybody going in there, but I didn't ever see anybody. I just went up there and stayed out of the way. But I got the chance to look at and smoke some of these guys over. And I'm just tell you right now, if somebody went out here to one of these rest homes and brought some lady in a wheelchair and asked her to come over here and pick out a defensive back in Georgia, she would pick out number 5. I mean, come on, man. This guy looks like what you're looking for. And nothing against the rest homes. Nothing against the rest homes, but I like the fact that, you know, did you ever hear that joke about Bobby Bowden talking in the rest home? And they asked him to speak to this group, and he was still pretty high at Florida State, and he talked, and this one lady kept bobbing her head up and down and bobbing her head up and down. And so after it was over, he went up to her and said, hey, ma'am, said, do you know who I am? She said, no, but if you go up to the front, they'll tell you who you are. So basically, Ringo, I really like, and I also got a chance to watch Green flop his hips a little bit. They didn't do much drills with them as far as any team. They just had them dressed out. But this guy looks the part, physical looking, got good looking hips. Really can flop over, has good ball skills, and you know he'll come in here and compete. There's no question about it. He's definitely a good looking kid.
We got a great question here, Coach, on the board. While we're on this subject, I know a lot of people, you know, throwing names out there. We put the not board out at UGASports.com, which is
put out what?
The antithesis of the hot board. It's the guys that you probably shouldn't be thinking about for this job. The guys that may not be getting considered as much.
It's pretty clever.
I got three. Not board. Right, I love. Now. Hey, this is my baby. I love my not board.
I got three for you right now: Roddy, Stats, Dane, Dave, Brent Rollins.
I would take the job because you know Kirby's going to coach him, so I don't have to. I get all the credit, and then I get a better job at some other school.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's the paycheck.
Yeah.
All right. This question, though, I think is very interesting when we're talking about the next hire. You know, like I said, names are being thrown around, but Dog Axe on the board at UGASports.com wants to know, do you think that Kirby would maybe prefer a younger guy with some position and recruiting success and experience at a smaller school so he can bring that guy in, groom him, and then get more years out of him before he bolts to a bigger job?
Good question,
but I don't think you ever look at a guy – from my standpoint, hiring a guy worrying about whether he's going to leave or not, because you want guys that are going to be attracted by other schools because of their success. So you would like, in Kirby's case, to have somebody here for a couple of years because of the process of them. You know, our defense, I've said this on the show a lot, is very complex. It runs, has a lot of things to it and that's why I felt like Trey Scott improved, measurably from 1 year to the second, because he came into a system where everybody knew the Alabama calls, knew everything, and had to take over and did a really good job with it. He did an outstanding job of training, and he's gotten a lot better with it as he coached more and more. But I think a younger guy doesn't necessarily have a connotation of doing a good job recruiting, except maybe – in fact, they might relate to them, but the smaller school recruiting compared to coming in here is very difficult. Let me just tell you, you're not going against non-power teams. You're going against basically when you're coming in here, you're not going against Vanderbilt and some of those. You're going against Alabama and Clemson. That's what you're going against, and Ohio State. And, you know, you're going against an elite five-star coach at that position at everywhere. And I've always said this, that not only do you have to get five-star players, you got to have five-star coaches. I mean, how does your coach rate on the grand scheme of things if you rated every coach in the SEC? If he's below the top four at his position, then he's probably not the kind of guy you want to bring in here.
Yep. Makes sense to me.
We had another question kind of along those lines that's it's not about the defensive back, but it was with the loss of Azeez Ojulari and the uncertainty of who will take over his role, which I don't know, there's too much uncertainty there, but this is from Exactly Axe on Twitter. It says, what are the odds Georgia goes back to being a base 3-4?
Slim and none.
Okay.
I don't think.
Well, he wanted to see Adam Anderson and Nolan Smith on the field at the same time, I think.
I just don't think the base is anything. And he makes a really good question there, but I'm just saying, today's game has evolved into nickel and dime. I mean, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see 90%, groupings out there and not just your base defense. So if we were just playing base, I could see getting both those guys out there. And I can see getting them both out there with the different pass rushing schemes we have and all. You know, we missed Walker in that game. I mean, we needed him in the first half. When we were playing base, not necessarily what this guy referred to, when we were playing our regular defense, second half, they just said, hey, we're trying to cover these guys up too much, our corners and our star, and they went back to go get them stuff, and Elargy took over. But I can see Anderson really flourishing now. Now, and we've seen this, and Roddy and I have talked about it, and I think Jake did too. Sometimes guys, the longer they stay here – and see the way they're developing, and then they finally get their chance, they really flourish. I think Anderson's going to come out smoking next year. I really like him, you know, because everybody's been doubting why isn't he playing more, all that. But I think he's got, you know, he's only been here a couple years, and now he's going to really kind of get out there and get after it. And then, of course, Nolan Smith had a lot of expectations, but, he'll continue to develop too. And we've got some good-looking kids coming in there at that position too.
I like what you said, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Sometimes you just have to wait. You know, sometimes if you're sitting behind Azeez Ojulari or Tyson Campbell, you know, or, you know, a DeAndre Swift, you know, you sometimes you may be great.
Roddy at a buffet line.
Huh?
Yeah. I said Roddy at a buffet line. Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to wait.
You know, the thing that's really critical in today's society is instant gratification. Everybody wants to make it quickly. These kids have immense pressure on them from the communities they're coming from, their mentors, from everybody. If they don't start the first game and they're not playing, everybody's ragging them about it and everything. Not to the point starting, but you know, I told you not to go there. They got too many players. So that's why we play so many people on special teams, just to get them out there and get them a look so they can at least have a taste of playing. And then when it's their turn, they're ready to go. You look at a guy like Breeny. We talked about him last week. I mean, he came out of the dark here as far as coming out and making, but that's going to help his attitude, you know, going into fall camp. And now he's had some success. We saw the same thing with Largie in the Sugar Bowl a couple years ago. Boy, he came out smoking in the spring practice after that. Just my point, last point here, if you're playing golf and you're getting ready to try to make a putt, if you think you can make it, you got a really good chance of making it most of the time, but you're going to miss them. But if you're really unsure about, hey, I don't know if I can play here. I don't know. I mean, you know, I've never got a chance and all that. I mean, your attitude controls your altitude. If you're going to really have a good attitude, you better get it going to get up there where you're getting that altitude where you're playing with the good players.
You've seen Dave Putt then, I'm assuming here.
And you know what? From a pass rush standpoint, Georgia's defensive line that is returning, anchored by Jordan Davis, anchored by Trayvon Walker and Jalen Carter, they're so big up the middle, it opens up more pass rush lanes from the outside from different guys. Like Coach was saying, versatility is the key. We had been seeing Georgia use the star position on blitzes some. Tyreek Stevenson had helped in that kind of support occasionally throughout the year. So, you know, the particular scheme is only going to be helped by that defensive line that's coming back.
Right.
And you get a point there where you talk about the instant gratification. I do want to mention one place you can get instant gratification and not be a pain in the butt, you know, or not be a detriment to your team is just head over to our friends at athensford.com, especially if you are a student, you're a veteran or active member of the military. They have $500 off coupons if you just go to their website. So say, hey, I'm a student, you know, I'm a recent college graduate. They'll give you that $500 off and say, hey, I'm an active member of the U.S. military or I'm a veteran. You get $500 off. And, of course, on all their vehicles, that any of their new ones or any of their pre-owned vehicles up to 80,000 miles, you get the lifetime powertrain warranty on it. So you can get not only a great vehicle, but you get a nice discount for being a poor student, being an active and honored member of our military. So I appreciate that kind of instant gratification because it's also it's an instant handout to the students who need help, and it's an instant honor for the folks who, when our friends out at Athens Sports say, look, we honor our military, they do. They put their money where their mouth is. And if you're maybe a little hesitant during the COVID era of heading out to a place where you think, well, there's people walking around and people will be touching car doors and stuff like that, I'm a little hesitant. Try. Go out there. The place is immaculate. If you need service done on your vehicle, don't let any worries about the cleanliness of a standard repair shop scare you. This place is
very, 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 very,
yeah, exactly. You feel like you could do you could cook dinner in their waiting room or have an operation in there. The place is it's immaculate.
I mean, they have drinks too. So
they do have drinks. They have free drinks. They have snacks. They have the best Wi-Fi, better Wi-Fi than I get most places, including my house. So swing out there, let you know, get your service done. Or if you're like, look, Roddy, I'm just a little too nervous about going out there, but I need a new vehicle. Call them or check them out online. They will go out with FaceTime or Zoom or whatever, walk around the vehicle that you're interested in. You can check it out 8 ways from Sunday. Tell them to open the trunk. Tell them to zoom in on the tire stem. Tell them to look in the glove compartment. Check the change door, see if there's any change in there. You know, whatever you want, they will go do it with a fine tooth comb with you. They'll send you the paperwork. They'll drop it off, let you drive it. And then you can they'll come pick it up if you didn't like it. So check out our friends at Athens Ford and get that instant gratification in a way that is not detrimental to your team. So I know we can keep talking about some Georgia stuff, but we're getting a lot of Dane, that was terrible. You just saw that pun.
I'm tweeting during the show. You'll have to go to my Twitter to see what it is.
Jeremy Pruitt had a problem with roster mismanagement.
I gave you a transition, though, for the podcast in real time. I mean, that's producing
on the
fly.
You did. Okay. But we are getting a lot of questions about Tennessee, and I know it's a Georgia podcast, but, you know, they are one of Georgia's rivals, so we'll mention them. UGA alum 95 has a question for the show. He said, after Pruitt's antics at UGA, how in the world did Tennessee hire him to be a head coach?
Well, that wasn't his next stop. That's the problem. I mean, ended up going back to Alabama, and the work that he did there, I think, on the defensive side of the ball, and really everywhere he went on the defensive side of the ball, for the most part, was really successful. I mean, the guy's got some national championships under his belt as a defensive coordinator. So, and it's not like at the time that was a great situation either. I think people may be misremembering how dire the Tennessee search got for a while. So.
Yeah, it was the Alabama rehab where coach is having a rough time. They go to Alabama for a year or two.
A little bit. Well,
you know, Lars, Sarkisian type thing. And, you know, you rehabilitate your image.
Here's the thing about Tennessee. 1930 to 2007, Tennessee's record was 71%. fourth in the nation. Since 2007 to 2020, they're 74th in the nation. Less than 500%. They've lost 37 straight games to top 25 teams. So that's so much for stats for you. And then when you sit around the house and read stuff, that's what I get. But I will say this, if you ask Kirby Smart, of all the people that laid the pipe work, Mark Grick did a good job on so many things, but I'm going to tell you, Jeremy Pruitt, the couple years that he was here, made some significant improvement in a lot of things off the field here. Nutrition, got the thing rolling on the indoor facility, strength and conditioning, practice times, off-season conditioning, summer workouts, travel to and for. Instead of staying up there at the lake, they stayed here. Everything that he brought in here from Alabama helped. And when Kirby came in, things were pretty well set in a lot of those areas. Our administration, our support staff, all those people in recruiting knew what was expected from Kirby. And then he had to change a couple things, but he had a 2-year head start on that. And you got to give Jeremy and you give Mark credit for letting Jeremy get involved in that and helping him. And, you know, people talk about, you know, some of the flare ups and everything. Let me tell you something. You can rank coaches around the country as far as football acumen, on the field coaching, technique, everything. This guy's in the top five in the country that I've ever seen be around here without question. Really a brilliant football coach. Off the field, things didn't work out up there. It looks to me like if you read between the lines, somebody turned them in from inside. And if that happens, then you got somebody that you know, you can if it, a couple big issues, but then they can all the little things that you try to be 50-50 with. Well, it could be a violation. It couldn't be. Those become violations when they come in there and start wanting to get after you. You could go in anywhere in the country, and most of the things they're going to get Tennessee on, they could get a lot of schools on, I can tell you. Now, the big things I agree with, they're not going to get many of the schools on, but certainly I'm not here to take up for anybody. I just think Tennessee right now is in dire straits. You know, they're going to have to hire an AD, and they're going to get a new coach. They're going to get behind in recruiting. And, you know, two of our four major rivals, really three of them, Georgia Tech, and along with Auburn and now Tennessee, have had a coach there less than 2 years. So that helps. And, you know, from Kirby Smart's perspective, since 2019, when he had the meetings at the SEC meetings, he's the third highest ranked coach in the SEC as far as being around.
Well, they say 8 out of 14 are gone since that 2019 SEC media days?
Yeah. I mean,
that's not too long ago.
I remember, nobody was supposed to get fired this year because of COVID.
Nope. Let's see, South Carolina, Tennessee.
They had South Carolina in there, too. That's another recruiting. Yeah. So, as good as our recruiting's been, I look forward to.
You mentioned how that's that about Tennessee, which I like, but also, like, growing up and even at Georgia, and from what I've always heard about Tennessee, Neyland Stadium was supposed to be the big, scary, scary place to go. Since Ballmer has left Tennessee, in SEC games only, Tennessee is 20-29 at home games at Neyland Stadium since Ballmer left in conference games. So 9 games under 500. If Georgia was 9 games under 500 in that period of time at home, yikes.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Georgia State and BYU the same year.
Yeah, that's not even – yeah, it's not, those aren't even conference games. Those are just –
3-7 in conference play this year. I mean,
that's brutal.
And that's what seems to be chapping the Vol fans the most is that they feel like they cheated their way to 3-7. So,
Terry Forshing has a good question. Coach says he knows that you've known Phil Fulmer a long time, but he wants to know how does the he calls it a dumpster fire at Tennessee. How will that affect UGA? You kind of just touched on it on some of the recruiting stuff there. Do you see any? Maybe any other things that we're kind of missing. To me, it all comes down to recruiting because, you know, we cover recruiting day in and day out. Some of the first questions we got was who on, you know, with the transfer rules, who does Tennessee have that Georgia could get? Who does Georgia need? First question was, do they have anybody in the secondary Georgia could get? You know, do you try to take a you know, all sorts of
real care. We got to be real careful on the transfers because, you know, we don't, our numbers are going to be such that, you know, the 85, now a guy comes back his senior year that played here doesn't count against the 85, but somebody from out of another school, that's going to be one of your numbers. So our numbers are really, really tight from that standpoint. And as far as Terry's question, you know, Fulmer, you know, that was a quiet exodus for him yesterday. I don't know what all was involved, but I do know that he signed a new contract last year and it said something about, you know, he wasn't going to take the raise and all that. But I would be really surprised if he didn't get some kind of golden parachute and get all that money, even though he's not going to continue to coach. So that was a good way to, you know, sever ties, so to speak, gracefully. But it's going to be a nice little payday for Coach Fulmer. And he deserves it, too. He, you know, he took over that place in a tough situation. And he had three good candidates there. He had Mel Tucker up there and Pruitt and Kevin Steele, and he decided to go with Pruitt. And there's no question that Jay could go over, but they have really ratified their roster. They're so much better than they were when he got there. I mean, I don't know what Butch Jones was doing up there, but he had massive turnover in his staff and just couldn't get any players after first couple of years. You know, Derek Dooley left some pretty good guys. But the one thing I would say, too, is – we can look at the state of Georgia and more than likely anybody that Tennessee might get that we wanted, that's not going to happen here in the next year or so. And anybody in Tennessee that they might get that we wanted, I would say we got a good shot at. So it really helps you. One of the things I always tried to do is go into an area where there's some upheaval in the state. We went into Louisiana and got Terrell Biera and Evans and some of those guys when they were getting ready to fire Jerry DiNardo, and Saban came in there. We almost got that one good receiver too, but we lost him at the end. I saw the same thing with Nick Saban this year in Texas. He knew Tom Herman was up in the air, and they went into Texas hard and went in there and just scoffed them up out of there, I mean, including getting Wheaton there at the end. One thing about staff I want to mention today, and I know I'm talking a lot, but Nick Saban in 2017, their team won the national championship. This year they won it again. Not one guy on that staff of 2017 is coached in the 2020 game, full-time coach. So coaching is very good, but your head man means a whole lot there. So
that includes strength and conditioning too.
Right. So here's the point, you know, just stay here, Kirby. Keep getting coaches. We'll be all right.
That actually was going to be one of my coaches' questions. Jake touched on it, was, you know, do you, with the fact that you have to rebuild the secondary, is it good to have a new coach come in, you know, he works with the new secondary, gets it all in there, or do you want to try to have some, you know, would it be better to have it not line up so that everybody's new, that you have some continuity, but then you pointed out, well, Kirby's back there coaching. So I think you have a chance to get the continuity with what the guys have learned previously, the Keely Ringos, Jalen Kimber, some Major Burns, guys who stuck around like Chris Smith that finally got their chance. You know, as you mentioned, guys that have to wait. You get that continuity with what Kirby's teaching them and what Charles Warren was coaching, what Kirby wanted him to coach. And then you bring in a new guy who's maybe a strong recruiter. And I think, you know, I'm not saying you can – I don't want to immediately say, hey, look, it's an upgrade, because that's rude to Charles Warren. I'm just saying you have a chance to maintain coaching levels, but maybe pick up a little bit. Get some new blood on the recruiting trail, maybe.
I don't think you're going to hire a recruiter first in this position. You're going to hire a coach. But if you're a good coach, you're a good recruiter. I don't think you can be a bad recruiter and be a good coach in today's society, because you got to recruit those kids year 1, 2, 3, and 4 and keep developing and building their morale and doing everything. But the point you made there, the pro part of it and the con part of it, the pro is these guys don't have anything to compare it to. The new guys coming in, they're going to be able to look at it and be open-minded as compared to, you know, if you have a veteran group in there and they're comparing, well, you know, why is he telling me this when I've been told this, you know? You know, I've heard coaches say before out there, I don't care what they told you before, this is the way we're doing it. You know what I mean? You go to a camp. I used to tell our kids when they came.
Yeah, and we've seen that in the past.
I've seen them come to camp. And
the upperclassmen are like.
Yeah, our kids come to – I mean, people come to a youth camp, and I'll say, look, we're going to tell you something that might be different from your coach, but that doesn't mean that he's right and we're wrong or vice versa. Don't go back and say – you know, hey, they told me to do it like this. Go back and say, hey, coach, do you ever consider doing this? This is the way they do it up in Georgia. That's what I'm talking about. But I think in this case, he's going to hire a guy that can come in here and show him on the board that he can handle the different coverages we have, show their drill tape, talk to them about recruiting. I know they'll put them through a home visit. They'll bring them in here and say, okay, this is so-and-so. I want you to recruit him here and let's see how you recruit him. I mean, you're going to go over it. And you just don't listen to it and say, look, hey, I recruited so-and-so, so-and-so, and so. All right, show me how you recruited him. What'd you do? Did you talk to his girlfriend twice a week? Did you work on the counselor? How do you work the coach? What did you do about summer jobs? How do you do, what do you do about academics? We got a strong academic deal here. A lot of questions you got to ask.
I'm curious, Coach, too, just because I don't know the answer to this question. When you bring a new guy in like this and there's so much turnover at the position, how much is this new guy going to be relying on previous knowledge and previous evaluations that the staff around him has done, as opposed to how much are they just going to turn him loose with fresh eyes and let him kind of determine what happens from there?
On recruiting?
No, on the current roster.
Well, let's certainly go over where these guys stand and everything like that. But let me just say, that's a one-man show on the current roster on who plays and who doesn't. And his first name's Kirby and his last name's Smart. Now, the position coach has a lot to do with it, and he'll give him his deal. But, you know, can you imagine somebody playing somebody Kirby didn't want to play? That's just not going to happen. I think it's pretty much true everywhere. The buck stops with the head coach.
You mentioned, Coach, speaking of recruiting and Georgia being able to take advantage possibly of Tennessee's situation, particularly strong year in 2022 when it comes to the state of Tennessee. 16 4-stars already in the state for the 2022 class.
Have you ever heard that happen in the state of Tennessee?
That's a pretty unusual number. I mean, Tennessee is not a talent depleted state by any means, but that's a lot of high level talent in there. And you're talking about a 5-star defensive tackle in Walter Nolan over in Cordova, a guy Berrion Brown out of Pearl Cone, Texas, Pearl Cone. In Nashville, I know Georgia's been involved with him. Dallin Hayden is a Vols legacy. That you got to be thinking that's possibly going their way now. Jordan Bryant James is another guy to watch. Jacob Hood, 6'8", 350, offensive tackle. We'll see how much run they give him. But it's a big year for in-state talent in the state of Tennessee. So pretty tough that they're kind of going through this ahead of that cycle.
Yeah, and look at what happened with Cade Mays. I mean – he's going to Tennessee the rest of his life there, you know, and then all of a sudden they have a coaching change and we jump in there. I mean, that's what you make a good point. That's certainly going to be an area that we hit, but you know, we're off to a great start for 22, aren't we? I mean, don't you think?
No question about it. I mean, Georgia's recruiting is top of the nation when it comes to the 2022 class. And you haven't seen a lot of concern yet as far as what I've heard from the likes of Marquise Groves-Killebrew or Deion Bowie out of Bainbridge when it comes to the turnover in Georgia's staff. Those are two high-level defensive backs, two guys that they really like for that next class. You know, obviously, Bowie's got the connection with being from Bainbridge to Kirby Smart. And then, you know, I think Killebrew has been one of the key guys really throughout Georgia's 2022 class already, been the big leader for that group. So, you know, it's a good statement, I think, about how it looks right now for them. And also, you know, the direction the program's headed even despite the coaching turnover, not really much of a concern to these guys yet.
That's a good point. Jake, before we get to some of the other questions, I do want to point out some good decisions that you're talking about. If you want to swing by the local Your Pie store, the pizza joints near your hometown, there are tons and tons of locations. They're not quite to 100 yet, but they'll get there because we're a good franchise to open up one of the Your Pies. But I know a lot of people think, pizza, I don't know. I'm on this new diet for the first of the year. I've got this new resolution to eat healthier. Check out Your Pie. They actually do have some very healthy choices. You can get a vegan pizza. You can get a vegetarian pizza. You can get a keto. You know, I know a lot of people are doing the keto diets. You can get keto pizzas. They have the cauliflower crust out there. They have gluten-free dough. You're like, I can't eat pizza. I'm allergic to gluten. Well, they have gluten-free dough. So you get low-carb, low-cal, plant-based, beets. So they have tons and tons of stuff to accommodate everyone's palate, everyone's diet, everyone's nutritional needs or preferences. So,
or you just like to pig out.
Yeah, or you just like me and you go in there and say, give me a Southern Heat, give me an Ishka, give me a Nat, give me a sandwich, give me a salad, give me one of those customized penny pastas, give me the gelato. Hit them all up. And of course, a lot of them have the local breweries. They will reach out to the breweries near and dear to them in their community and say, hey, put your local beer in our location. So you can go in there and have a customized pizza and a pint and support not only your local Your Pie, but your local brewery. So hit up our friends at Your Pie. They will take good care of you. And of course, if you also need while we're talking about people who will take care of you, I do have to mention our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. Ryan, Lucy, and the folks at Aaron Overhead Doors are big sponsors of our show. They're big sponsors of our website. I can never emphasize enough the customer service aspect of what Ryan, Lucy, and his folks at Aaron Overhead Doors do. They take care of you from the minute you reach out to them to the minute the work is completed. It'll be low cost. You get 10% off if you're a UGA fan, which can't beat that. But the fact that they cover almost all of North Georgia with their locations, they will drive a long way, but they just want to be sure that you're taken care of. So you can reach out to them for free. You can set up, you can schedule when they'll come out. So it's not, you're not waiting around for them to have a free time. You tell them, hey, I'm available at this point, then they will come out, free estimate on the work, and then they'll take care of it and then call you to make sure that it was done right. So check out our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors and Your Pie. It's two great customer service options where you make good decisions, and it also helps us when you use them. So we appreciate it. Jake, hit us up on some of those other questions, if you would.
All right. I'm going to throw this one to everybody, not just Coach, because I'm curious as to how everybody feels about this. Obviously, a lot of fallout from the Tennessee news. But one of the guys that people mentioning a lot as a possible guy that Georgia could look at for that DB coaching spot, Derek Ansley, a guy with a lot of ties to Tennessee, not only Tennessee, but Alabama, was a guy there. I think was with the Raiders for a bit as well in the league. Dog Axe wants to know, do you think Derek Ansley's hireable, and do you think Kirby Smart would want him? Do you think that these guys coming off of what just happened in Tennessee, does that kind of leave a stain on some of those guys? Well, obviously some of them it does. I mean, there are some pretty clear ones that does leave a stain on.
I don't think anybody's going to be hiring Niedermeyer anytime soon.
Not the immediate guys who haven't been implicated, I guess, yet.
I think he would be hireable, but I kind of think that Kirby Smart's going to go a little bit off the grid with his defensive back coach hire. I mean, there's such a good support system in place, not just with Kirby, who obviously is so involved in defensive backs, but that's one of the beauties of building up your program with some of the off the field assistants, some of the analysts, that it doesn't all fall on one guy. I think this is going to be a bit of a surprise hire, and I don't know that Ansley would fit that as much.
Yeah, sometimes you got too many Chiefs and not enough Indians. And this guy's been a coordinator his last couple jobs. And, certainly, as we mentioned, you're going to be under Kirby. You're going to also be under Lanning. He's going to be under Schumann and Scott. So how are you going to move up here? But there's a lot to be said about being a coach at Georgia, regardless what your role is, too. So just depends on his career move. What he wants to do, he's got some pro ties now. And, I can see with this thing coming up with the likeness and the – what do you call it, NIL?
Yes.
Name, image, likeness. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the NIL. I can see a lot of guys going to pros and not want to put up with, hey, coach, can you help me get a car dealership down there to get me a car? You know, some of them used to ask me that, but it wasn't because of NIL, but, you know, hey coach, I need some tires, man. Come on. Some of your best friends in coaching are tire dealers, man.
Did you ever use that McDonald's bag trick, coach?
I mean, hey, that McDonald's bag was, you know, I never used that one, but,
classy.
Maybe church collection plate, but not the, but, you
gotta go after a place that has bigger bags. So
how do you trace that church collection? I mean, unless you got a really,
now explain me, how does the church collection plate work?
You know, you just put some money in there and the preacher takes his cut and gives it to the mom and dad.
Got it. Okay.
I've heard that. I've never been involved in that. I have been to a lot of weddings and funerals and things for people, for parents and you know, players getting baptized, their kids and all. And sometimes they have a collection plate there, but I never got involved with that.
I see. I'm just curious. I just want to know what the system was. But going back to the question of, you know, there are some great coaches there. And I will say this about Jeremy Pruitt. I think he's a good coach. I just think he's hard to work with. And I remember one person at UGA telling me he has yelled at every person in the building, from janitors to ADs. Jeremy, he's a hothead. Good coach. But I don't know these – I don't say he's not a good person. He's just he can be very angry. And there's a ton of stories about him at Georgia.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is how will this whole thing, like what you said, will it taint the other people? Will it taint Jim Chaney? Will this affect T. Martin? Will it affect Derek Anza, guys like that? You know, we should have put Derek Anza on our not board simply because I just don't see him. That's nothing against him. I think would definitely be a good hire probably. But you have a situation where I think Kirby Pruitt had the chance to hire him once and didn't. So I just don't know that he fits in. And again, maybe he doesn't want to take the demotion. Maybe he'll move to the NFL and he's highly sought after all over the nation. So nothing would surprise me with Derek Ansley. I just don't see him on the Georgia list. But I do think that some of those coaches who may have had nothing to do with it are going to be tainted. You know, and I think it's unfair if they had nothing to do with it. They knew about it, turned a blind eye. That's tough, you know. But it's going to be
seriously though, Rod, do you think any coach at the Georgia staff or Tennessee or Ohio State staff or Alabama staff would go in there and tell the athletic director, hey, I saw this guy do this. You're not going to do that.
No, that's where the taint comes from, coaches.
Turn your own self in, and you talk about yelling.
They'll be held to that standard. They'll be like, why didn't you rat them out?
If you're talking about yelling, there's no coach that would ever been here at University of Georgia if that was a criteria for yelling at people.
Yeah, but you don't need to yell at the janitor.
I'm talking about Vince Cooley. Yeah. I mean, I've yelled at a janitor before when they forgot to take my garbage out.
You yell at me.
I'm not talking about yell, raise your voice or something, but, you know.
I'm talking about an absolute dressing down, you know.
Well, maybe that's what he did, but.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a hard time with Sankey letting him get back in the league just like Freeze did, you know. I mean, it's going to be hard, Sankey. You know, Sankey's good after the fact on all these guys, but, you know, we'll see what – but. Just continues to amaze me how many programs in the SEC continue to get put on probation.
Yeah, I really encourage people. We didn't write this article, but I thought it was a really well written and really well thought out piece by Gentry Estes in the Tennessean today, basically saying, you know, the implications of what Tennessee said publicly in that press conference go well beyond Jeremy Pruitt. It seems like it's going to be some hard stuff for them to back off of. And so you got to wonder when you're making that next hire. If I'm the guy bringing it, they're bringing in next, I want to know what the hell we're up against, because I'm not coming
tough
in.
Enough. It's tough enough going to beat Georgia and Florida.
Exactly.
If most people would read the response that anybody has to an NCAA inquiry, this would be this. Hey, we're going to challenge this. You know, there's certain things in here that we we certainly agree with, but there's a lot that we don't as compared to that chancellor yesterday. I was shocked, you know, and all these different things that she said, you know, she pretty much read the riot act on that, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you're going to be able to get back in front of the NCAA and say, well, it wasn't really as bad as we said it was. And they're going to say, well, here's a video of you saying it was stunning. The levels of it were surprising. You know, I just think the fallout from it is we're really yet to be determined on that.
How about the irony?
Nothing, deny everything. That's
it. Look, just means more.
No, I learned our lesson the hard way with Todd Gurley. You know, and so his jerseys pop up with his signature on it. And I'm like, okay, well, he did something there. And Georgia throws himself on the sword. And then looking at FSU and Florida and Alabama and all these other schools that have players doing the exact same thing. And they're like, oh, no, we don't do that. Well, no, your stuff's on eBay too. Wasn't us. It wasn't me. The old Shaggy song. Wasn't me. And the NCAA is like, I guess it wasn't them.
And they have championships.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, they said they didn't do it. So that's good enough for us. So, I don't want to be a cheater, but at the same time, I'm like, when it comes to the NCAA, I think, like you said, Gentry's article is very good. Gentry Estes is a great writer, great Georgia guy, too, a Georgia grad. He had a great take on it. And I'm like, at this point, you know, you make them prove what happened. And Tennessee trying to get out from underneath that buyout, they may have
now, Roddy, themselves in the foot. All these basketball teams that have been all these accusations and everything, and to this point, nobody's really the only which school is the one
who suffered. Arizona's the only one that's sort of suffered, but like Auburn hasn't had anything.
How long have we been waiting on that hammer to fall on Bruce?
Kansas still fighting it, aren't they?
Kansas still fighting.
We need to get Mark Schlabaugh on the show. Mark can show you some stuff from the FBI.
NCAA is understaffed, undermanned, and they got these deals now where you go instead of going before them, you go with that one thing. What do you call it? Stats that they do now. They that all the people they go get their case tried before now. It's like an independent group.
Yeah, it's like pretrial intervention. Yeah.
How about the irony at Tennessee, though, that the interim coach is the guy that just tried to work his back channels to get the head coach at Auburn fired?
Who's going to hire Kevin Steele ever again? You're never bringing that guy into your program. He's
he's bad news.
He's the angel of death of SEC coaches.
I don't think you can blame him on this thing here. I mean, he probably knew it might be coming, but he's going to be the Guinness Book of Records being the head coach at two different SEC schools in 16 days.
Now, my thought was, if you're the head coach, even interim, do they give you access to the checkbook or the dealer cards or something? It seems like, you know, you're watching somebody's house for the weekend. You're going to have a party there, you know. You got to kick your feet up in the front off in the coach's office. You know, you got to figure out something you can do. You may only be the interim head coach there for a month or two, but you got to figure out some way to use that to your advantage, you know.
Yeah,
at least a nice Nike gear or something, you know.
You could have one of those Mike Price parties and stuff like that.
Hey, easy.
Maybe they can get that rent a car that Lane left in the ditch up there.
Hey, I like the people who are like, we should have kept Lane.
I've got five more Tennessee facts for you if you just want a little laughter. Tennessee fired more staffers this week than it scored points against Kentucky.
Oh, damn.
Tennessee fired three coaches this week, the same number of interceptions it threw in that second quarter loss against Kentucky. Jarrett Guarantano played in 41 games at Tennessee, six more than Pruitt coached. Pruitt coached 35 games. If you give him 1 point for every game, he'd still be a field goal shy of Georgia State in 2019. And Jarrett Guarantano transferred to Washington State, pretty much getting as far away from Knoxville as he possibly could and still remain in the sport.
Oh, those are some good ones, Dean.
Oh, you need to take that shit on the road, dude.
Yeah, I'll go do stand-up in Knoxville. I'm sure that'll go well.
You may not get out of there alive.
You're not going to be welcome at Calhoun's or Dead End Barbecue out there.
Neither you nor Grimace nor the Hamburglar will be encouraged to visit Neyland Stadium.
I'll just go to Tuscaloosa. I know that they're doing the crowds thing right now with their celebration, so there'd be a lot of money to be had.
We're thinking about the the transfers and such, and I want to give a shout out to Mike McDonald and George Hilo and possibly Christian Robinson, all heading to Michigan to go save that program. So big shout out to Mike McDonald, George Hilo. Very excited for them. And if they get Christian, that will be a very interesting a group of – basically, Mike McDonald is getting the whole band back together and trying to make Athens North up there in Michigan to save Harbaugh's butt. So shout out to them. Again, it'll be very interesting what he takes from that Baltimore defense and installs there. So,
hey, Jake, I had a question for you that's a legitimate one, because the name that I've seen on the dog vent since Georgia is now looking for a new defensive backs coach is Terrion Arnold, and that's a name we haven't mentioned on the show today. So I feel like our fans would appreciate an update about him.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's definitely a great question and one that people have asked me a lot about. Personally, I don't have that much concern about where Georgia stands now with the departure of Charlton Warren, because to me, that seems like a recruitment that honestly, at this point, Kirby Smart is in charge of. Arnold actually said as much a few days ago. Chad Simmons put out an article. Basically, he said, listen, my connection with Georgia is Kirby Smart. He's from 30 minutes from where I'm from. You know, we've got that connection. We're from a similar area. With that being the case, I don't think there's a huge reason to be concerned. It doesn't work in Georgia's favor, but at the same time, Florida just lost their DBs coach as well, both of them, Ron English and Torian Gray. Alabama's been holding a spot. Obviously, they're always going to hold some appeal, but Georgia and Florida kind of in a similar situation when it comes to Arnold right now. Florida long thought to be the front runner there. I think Georgia just needs him the worst right now, and I think that that's what they're pitching him. And I think having the head coach say that to a kid is got to be compelling for him.
The one team that loses coach after coach after coach lately is Alabama, and they've been pretty good in recruiting. So
no doubt,
they haven't lost their bank. I don't mean that in any way.
It's
consistency there.
Yeah, it's just consistency. You know, you play for a proven winner, and I get it. But I do think that if Kirby Smart is the lead recruiter for Terrion Arnold, do you like Georgia's chances there, irrespective of who or what the current DB coach situation is? And, you know, that's one situation where we've seen Kirby do this with other guys. They're recruiting. They're like, hey, when we bring in the new guy, you'll be the first one we tell. You know, we want to get somebody who will work with you. You'll love this guy. You know, they're not going to say you get to pick him, but they get to say that, you know, we hired this guy with you in mind and you put a good spin on it and the kid feels like he's part of the process.
Look at me.
And it works very well. So, and of course, you know, Kirby's like, I'll be back there. You've visited campus. You've seen me coaching them. You know that I will be there to coach you up. So, it helps with the Terrion Arnold.
Has he visited here before? Has he been?
Yes, Terrion has been on campus before, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yep. Very familiar with the staff.
Hopefully you can get him up here again. We do know when spring practice will start. An exclusive report at UGASports.com yesterday, we found out spring practice is scheduled to start March 16th. G-Day, April 17th.
Which is not the Masters weekend and is not Easter weekend or Easter Sunday.
And not my birthday, thank God, for the first time. Forever.
There's an I in Jake.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have birthdays anymore. You gave them up for that mullet.
Yeah, well, it was a good change. It was a good exchange.
I will say one thing that's happening right now, just so fans kind of understand, the team has gotten together and had some of those initial like meetings of just saying, all right, here's who we're going into the next phase of preparation for 2021 with, and that's crucial. It's setting the right tone for the team and the players, and that happens with making sure that guys are meeting class obligations as well. So everything to get started for that game that is currently on the schedule against Clemson to start the season, that's beginning now. And then, like you said, Roddy, going into spring practice and then G-Day and hopefully all those things that were disrupted so heavily in 2020.
So it's January 19th, spring practice. Hopefully we can get our first practice updates March 16th. So less than two months, a couple days less. And I doubt with the whole COVID stuff going on that we'll actually get access to practice this year. I don't see it happening, but hopefully we'll get some word from inside practice like we did throughout the fall. We'll have some news and notes for you there. We'll get back to being able to interview Kirby Smart, hopefully some of his assistant coaches, and talk to some of his players. So that kicks back up. But you're right. You know, they're back to lifting, team meetings, and stuff like that.
Today's the first day of winter workouts. Last week was just all get back in.
So they're working out today.
Get your classes, get everything straight. And today's the first day. That's exclusive for you there. Today's the first day that they're starting winter workouts.
And the other thing that's happening on campus this week is the university sent out a survey to all faculty, staff, and students of who is interested in a COVID vaccine. Federal government has said that University of Georgia will be kind of a hub distribution of the vaccine. And so they're trying to see who wants to get it when it becomes available. And that will kind of help the process of getting that distributed to whoever is on campus and eligible for it at that time.
Go for it.
See, my thought would be that the players would be almost like dead last, young, healthy, you know. But to me, it's like, hey, get all the faculty and staff vaccinated as quickly as possible, you know, teachers across the board in general. But it seems to me like they would be amongst the last. But at the same time, they're football players. Yeah. I'm used to them getting to register first and doing everything else first. So,
hey, Charles Barkley said pro athletes should be first because they pay more in taxes.
That was the old Patrick Ewing line. Goes, yeah, we make more money, but we also spend more money because we also make more money. Something like some weird situation like that. That's like, yeah, Patrick, we're not sympathizing for people making more than $10 million a year.
Hey, Latrell Sparrow's got to feed his children, man. Come on, food on the table.
50 of them or whatever.
Got to feed my kids. All right, that's pretty much all the time we have for this week. Jake, do we have any other questions left?
Just one quick one here. I wanted to touch on a couple people asking, is there anybody on Tennessee's roster that Georgia might take a shot at now that things have gone down? Like Coach said, numbers are really tight. If I'm Georgia, the two guys that I'm probably circling on my board to go look at would be Keyshawn Lawrence, freshman defensive back out of Nashville. He was a highly recruited guy, 6'2", 200 pounds, a really good defensive back. And then another guy that they're very familiar with on this staff, number 22 for the Vols, that's Jalen McCullough out of Hillgrove. I think that he was a guy they recruited very heavily. They would have liked to have had him previously. I don't know that either of those guys are going anywhere, but those are two guys I would definitely take a look at if I were looking for some experienced help on that side.
So no on Cade Mays?
Yeah, probably pass on Cade Mays.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
Might come up just a finger short on him.
Oh.
Yeah. The right. Chairman of the board right there.
Is that vodka or water?
I cut it with a little water.
All right. Good show here.
Thanks, guys. I do want to give a big shout out to our friends at DR Construction Maintenance, Ronnie Brown, for being a sponsor of the podcast. He's down there servicing Liberty, Long, and Bryan County. So if you were in those areas and need some work done on your house, check out DR Construction Maintenance. They are big fan of the show, big fans of the show, as is Ronnie Brown. He always gives us some good questions, and we appreciate him being a sponsor. We'll give a big shout out to AccuDB Brewing Company for letting us come in here, and they actually shut down their canning line for a minute to let us have our show in relative peace. Lunch is being served. They always have constantly good specials here. Follow them on Facebook. Go to the Facebook page for AccuDB Brewing Company. They're always putting out pictures of whatever new special they have, and they're always introducing their new beers there. So check out the tons of new beers they have at AccuDB Brewing Company. Come in here and meet Matt Casey and the team. Again, Georgia graduates who created this place. You can support big Georgia fans if you come out and buy, you know, there's a big cooler up at the front where you can get great beers, you know, and take them home with you. And, of course, you can find them in your local package store. So big shout out to AccuDB Brewing Company for letting us come in here and take over their place the last few weeks. We'll continue to do this until Classic City Eats opens up in Watkinsville. So we'll be looking forward to that as well. So
hurry up, Josh.
Yeah. So Athens Ford, EuroPie, Aaron Overhead Doors, and DR Construction Maintenance, we say thank you for being a sponsor. And thank you, folks, for watching. Tune in next Tuesday at noon. We will be back. Take care.